In this post, we're going to look at two of the more alarming reactions we have to threats, inflammation and fever, and they're going to argue that they are both positive responses which, well managed, can do a lot of good. It's when they're not well managed or overwhelming that they become dangerous. And we'll look at that in later parts of the issue as well. So let's start with inflammation. It's a local reaction to something that has threatened the tissues locally, and there's a nice little old fashioned picture here of the classic stages of inflammation. You get the injury, you then get redness and warmth, rubor or calor, you get swelling, otherwise known as tumor, and pain, dolor, all words from ancient Greek. And each of those is part of a healthy defense response. So red and warmth relate to the increase of blood supply to the area. And of course, blood is bringing oxygen, is flushing out wastes, but it's also bringing the important white blood cells that we need, our innate immune system, particularly. Tumor is when these the circulation builds up and you get a bit of leakage into the local tissues, and that leads to swelling. Again, it shows that the battle is being taken on by our defences. And dolor is the pain that's associated with the chemicals that these white blood cells release, cytokines. And the job of pain is to make us take notice and to look after the injury, go into a cave as an animal would and lick it, and generally rest up so that it has this inflammation has a chance to finish the job. So acute inflammation, as we call it, which means short term, is a job well done when it's done. And it's also interestingly fires up the defences so that they are better able to respond next time round. Any inflammation that hangs around then becomes what we call chronic inflammation. And typically, a chronic inflammation is marked by the word itis after its name. So arthritis is chronic inflammation of the joints, bronchitis of the lungs, cystitis of the bladder, and so on. Each of these can be identified linked to an infection. Sometimes, however, it's part of a wider upset, including wider immune upset, and becomes increasingly a challenge to sort out. But when we are dealing with chronic inflammation, we still remember that at the heart of this is a healthy response that hasn't finished the job, and we all look in our work for ways in which we can help the inflammation do its work. And there's lots of details of this in other posts, other articles in this issue, the immunity issue. Keep coming back to this. In this, however, we're going to also look at fever, and we're going to focus on fever particularly in this post, as it's something that is important. It's another defense measure, and you can sometimes think of fever as inflammation on a larger scale affecting the whole body. Again, it's a healthy response, and it comes out of the bacteria or the germs or the virus, whatever is causing the fever, unwittingly switches on the thermostat in the brain. So if your body temperature is, say, 37 point something, the thermostat might rise up to 39 in the brain, and then the body's temperature is lower than the thermostat is saying it should be. And at that stage, we feel chilled, we feel cold. So we wrap up warm, we start shivering. Shivering is a way of generating heat. We want to have hot drinks, hot baths, wrap up warm, go to bed and cover yourself with blankets. All that is a normal way in which the body has to raise its body temperature. So quick message, if you're feeling chilled, it means your body temperature is rising. So remember that. When we get to the temperature set by the thermostat, we don't feel chilled anymore, and we get into a new neutral zone and can feel quite much more comfortable. However, This is also the time when our white blood cells are working really, really hard, maybe two or three times more actively than they are when we're at normal body temperature. And it's at this time when the work that the fever is aiming to do does get done. So it's the happy place between the rise of the body temperature and the drop at the other end is this new equilibrium at a higher level. And the job of managing fever is to maintain the level that the body would like you to be at comfortably, without side effects, without convulsions or spasms or vomiting or diarrhea or any of the other possible things that can happen. To make the person going through the fever more comfortable and to stop the temperature rising too high. And there are ways in which we do that, and there's identified a little bit in this post, and we'll come back to it also in other ways. We also look at, in the post, things that the danger signals where we would really do need to call for help. Things like seizures, bad headaches, stiff neck. Interestingly, check the pulse, because it should rise with the body temperature. If it hasn't, then you need to you need to call in help, because meningitis sometimes is associated with a slow pulse. Confusion, extreme irritability, extended vomiting, or diarrhea. So from what we said earlier, fever management involves learning how to read the body as it goes through the phases. We've already said that when the body temperature is rising, you feel chilled. It's the opposite of when the fever is broken, because then the body temperature is higher than the reading set in the hypothalamus, and you feel hot, and you throw the bedclothes off, you start sweating, and at that point your body temperature is coming down, the fever has broken. We list a few of the plants that you can use at various stages of this cycle to help it along, and a few other bits of advice about handling fever carefully. It's worth remembering that even the more conservative medical websites and other sources are quite happy with managing fever at home, provided you are watching the danger signals. And on balance, it's much better to see this through naturally rather than suppress the fever with whatever it is, aspirin. Aspirins are no longer used anymore, but paracetamol. Or antibiotics, because if you do see a fever through to completion properly and allow time to recover afterwards, which is also important, you may not need many fevers in your life if one of them is done properly, because it sets you up. On the other hand, if you keep having fevers and not seeing them through, then they do keep coming back.